Well, you saw the text at the beginning of the hymn. It's the Psalm 116. And it is the verse 12 that I want to draw your attention to tonight. Following on maybe a little bit from this morning's message, thinking about serving the Lord, being active in God's work, the application and emphasis will be particularly to God's people. But if you're not saved tonight, we want the message to be applied to your heart too. For sake of time, I'm just going to read my text, and I will refer to other verses in the psalm as we proceed tonight. These are just thoughts from my heart as we have this special welcome home service for our sister Pat. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? That's a prayer. Lord, we want to thank thee for what is termed here as the benefits of God, so graciously given to us all. When we think of common grace, we have to say that God has lavished upon all men indiscriminately his blessings, saved and unsaved alike. When we think of your own particular and peculiar people whom you have saved by grace, we have to say with greater emphasis that you've given to us so much that we enjoy in Christ and gospel blessing. As we think of the text and the challenge that is here and the response that ought to be in our hearts, we pray that by the Spirit of God you'll apply the truth of the Word to all that are gathered. Help us to appreciate the Lord for all that he's done. And help us, Lord, to render to thee something for your glory and your honor in light of the fact that God has been good, always good, for Jesus' sake. Amen. The child of God undoubtedly feels his indebtedness or her indebtedness to the Almighty, to a gracious benefactor who has lavished his love, mercy, and goodness upon his creatures, especially his own dearly beloved children. The poor, sinful woman of Matthew chapter 26, now converted, wanted to show her love and esteem and gratitude to Christ. And so she broke open her precious box of alabaster ointment, and she poured it over the head of Christ. And what she was saying is, Lord Jesus, I love thee. I appreciate what you have done for me. And this is something that I want to render as a token of my esteem for you, the Savior that I love. Upon conversion, Saul of Tarsus, you remember there on his knees on the Damascus Road, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Undoubtedly feeling that indebtedness of heart, he wanted to render to the Lord something. And here the psalmist is speaking along similar terms or lines, and he poses the very same question. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? He begins his song by praising the Lord and expressing his love to the Lord in verse 1. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Every believer should be able to declare without hesitation his love for Christ. To be able to say in these words of the psalmist, I love thee, I love the Lord. It was something required by the law. The law of God required that his creatures loved him. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength and thy mind. That was a summary of what man's obligation was to God. But it was only the grace of God working in the heart of the true child of God that can really produce that love to the Lord where a person with honesty of heart can say, I love the Lord. God condescends to love you and I, poor, miserable creatures as we are. He has shown manifest tokens of that love towards us, and not least at the cross, where the Lord Jesus Christ died for us and paid the price for our sin, where our sins were laid upon him, and Jesus Christ took the punishment on our behalf. And so we love the Lord because he first loved us, as John reminds us. And when we think of all the love that God had for us, and especially manifested there at Calvary, then we can say in our hearts, Lord, I do love thee. Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Very question that was put to Simon Peter after the resurrection. And Simon Peter, having to confess it three times for each denial of the Savior, Jesus says, lovest thou me? He says, Lord, you know that I love thee. Can't you say that tonight as a child of God? And that love expressed by the psalmist was exhibited and strengthened by answered prayer, because he's saying here, Lord, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. He has inclined his ear unto me. The author found himself in a very dark place when he writes these words. We deduce that from verse 3. He says, the sorrows of death compassed me, the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Great C.H. Spurgeon said, as hunters surround a stag with dogs and men, so that no way of escape is left, so was David enclosed in a ring of deadly griefs. The pains of hell got hold upon me. The pains of hell are those sorrows which belong to death, terrors that are connected to the grave. And all David could find was trouble and sorrow. But he called on the Lord. Look at verse 4. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. It's always the right course of action when we are in trouble and when we find trouble and are surrounded by trouble to call upon the Lord's great name, especially when things are at their worst. The best thing to do is to make our appeal to God, to the God of mercy. David then declares three great attributes in verse 5. You just pick them out there. We'll not need to expound anything on these. I think they're self-explanatory. Gracious, righteous, and merciful. Just ponder those tonight in your heart. This is the God that David comes to, the God that he prays unto, the God that he wants to render something to because of the tokens of his love to him, the God that is gracious, the God that is righteous, and the God that is merciful. He then testifies to God's intervention and help in verse 6. The second part of it, especially, I was brought low, and he helped me. David is speaking from personal experience, what God had done in his life. And then he rejoices in verses 7 and 8 in the help that was given. And he affirms in verse 9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I'm going to walk right in the sight of God. I'm going to walk right in the sight of man. In the land of the living, where people are living around me, I'm going to make sure that my testimony is a good testimony, a right testimony. We are walking before the land of the living, and it's good and important to maintain a right testimony before our fellow men. But more importantly, we're walking in the sight of heaven, and that ought to have a greater influence upon us. To know that every day, no matter where we are, God is looking on. He watches us. He sees us. Every minute detail about us, every conversation that we hold, every thought that we have in our minds, all that we are, all that we do, in every place that we travel, God is watching on. I'm walking in the sight of heaven, and that ought to quicken our hearts to live right in this world. And it is in the light of all these things that he has now expressed that we come to this text in verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And I have two simple thoughts that I want to leave with you tonight as we think of the attitude of a man who feels his indebtedness to God. My first point, very simply, is the benediction of the Almighty. And it's summarized in that little phrase, all his benefits. All his benefits. You know, the benefits of God are numerous. We can't count them. Back in the Psalm 68 and verse 19, the psalmist says, bless the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Every day loadeth us. He heaps his blessings upon us. They are not only numerous, but they are promised. It's a wonderful promise that is given in the prophetic word of Ezekiel and the chapter 34 and verse 26. I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. In a similar way, in the Psalm 40, David, referring to the wonderful works of God and the thoughts which are to us, where he says, if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And so we're saying tonight, such is the extent of these many, many blessings that God has given to us. We can't put a figure upon them. We can't number them in any way. If we were to count our blessings and name them one by one, it would surprise us what the Lord has done. Now, what are these benefits? What are these blessings, these tokens of God's goodness and mercy that he's given to us? I think David gives us an insight to those that he particularly thought about in this psalm. One certainly was answered prayer, that the Lord had heard him. Think of that opening verse again. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. God had inclined his ear towards David. Like a loving, tender father, he has bent his ear to listen to what his child had to say. And what a precious privilege it is for us to have the ear of God. The ear of a sympathizing God who loves us so. So answered prayer certainly is a token from the Lord, a blessing, a benediction. Look at verse 7, bountiful treatment. The Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Out of his own fullness and infinite grace, he has supplied all our need, especially those needs that are spiritual and eternal. We have to say that tonight. We have to agree with David here. The Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee, with me, with you tonight in this meeting. And there's a wonderful illustration in the New Testament when it comes to the spiritual application of this. And that is in the parable that is related by the Savior in Luke 15. And that parable has three parts. It's all about lost things. The lost sheep and the lost silver and the lost son. And whenever the prodigal came home, confessing his sin, Father, I'm not even worthy to be called your son any longer. Just make me a hired servant and I'll be happy to live here as a servant in your home. But you remember how the father loved him, how the father ran to meet him, embraced him, kissed him, reinstated him, and he called for the best robe to be brought, that his son might be clothed in the best robe, and for shoes to be put on his feet, and for the ring of acceptance to be given to him. And in gospel terms, the Lord has done that for us. For he has called for the best robe, even the robe of righteousness, to be given to his own redeemed people. And so we say, bountiful treatment has been our experience. The Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. And then if you look at verse 8, deliverance from death. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Not only was this so in a physical sense, that David had been delivered many, many times from physical death, but it is also so in an eternal sense. We have victory through Jesus Christ. We can say with regard to physical death, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? For the Lord Jesus Christ has given us victory, and we have no fear of physical death because the Lord has taken away eternal death, and we are possessors of the enjoyment of everlasting life. We're going to heaven. We're going to the palace of a king. And so we can rejoice that he has delivered us from death. We can add, of course, to the number many things as we contemplate the benediction of God upon us. He's given us the gift of life. Are you thankful for the fact that you're alive tonight? The breath is in your body, your heart is beating, and the blood is still traveling around your body. We think of the enjoyments of life, all that we have. Remember, every good gift, every perfect gift is from God. Comes down, the Bible says, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Whenever Abraham was desirous to get a bride for Isaac, his son, you remember he sent Eliezer, his servant, to Mesopotamia to seek out a bride. You remember when he came to the house of Laban and he reported how God had blessed Abraham? The Lord has blessed my master. And he begins to list the things that God had given to him. He had given him servants and he had given him cattle and, you know, livestock. He had given him riches as well, gold and silver. He was acknowledging that God had done these things. And the Lord has given to us so many enjoyments and so many pleasures and so many good things in this life as well. And we see them as benefits from the Lord. He has blessed this land in agriculture, both in the livestock end and in the arable side of things. He has blessed us with comforts in this life that we enjoy every single day. These are benefits. These are blessings that God has given to us. And then, of course, another benefit is he has helped us in dark providence. Just because we're saved doesn't mean we don't have problems. And there are times when in the mysterious providence of God, the Lord allows dark shadows to fall upon us as individuals, sometimes as families, maybe even in church life. And yet through it all, he's been there and he has conveyed us through. He's brought us through these circumstances that have been adverse. You trace the life of Joseph especially. From the time that he was hated by his brethren, the time that he was thrown into the pit by his brothers, when he was sold to the Ishmaelites who brought him down and sold him on into the land of Egypt, into the house of Potiphar, and how that even in the midst of blessing and things going well in that home, there was a woman that lied about him, and it caused him to be cast into prison. And you trace those years of his experience, and you have to say these were dark providences that came upon Joseph, but the hand of God was there, leading him, directing him, bringing him through every circumstance that he was called upon. And this is a blessing. And so we say, God has helped us in the dark providences. Another benefit is the knowledge of the gospel. You're not in ignorance tonight. God has given you light and understanding when it comes to the things of God. You know about Jesus Christ. You know that there is a Savior from your sin. I trust that you've been brought to see your sin, and to feel your sin, and to understand that your sin has separated you from God. But here's the marvel. He has granted you knowledge in the gospel that there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open that all may go in. It's at Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as sinners to Jesus. He's opened our eyes. He's caused us to see that Jesus Christ is the Redeemer of men. What a benefit that is. What a blessing. Gospel knowledge. And for those that are saved, he has bestowed upon you eternal life. You are now a possessor of everlasting life. You do not become a possessor. You don't have to wait to some future date to become an inheritor of everlasting life. The day that you were converted to Christ and saved by grace, he gave you eternal life. And you have heaven ahead of you forevermore. Isn't that a benefit? And just think about what that entails, because another blessing and benefit is he has given deliverance from hell and from judgment. Hell is a place where I will never be. I say that confidently. And it's not because of who I am. And it's not because of what I've done. Because no matter who I am or what I've done, it'll never bring me to heaven. It'll never deliver me from hell. But I'm going to heaven because of what another has done for me. And Jesus Christ is my Savior, and he has paid the price for my sin at the cross of Calvary. And therefore, on that basis, I will never be in hell. Why? Because Jesus Christ has paid for all of my sin. Men go to hell because of sin, to pay the price of sin, the punishment for sin. But that price and punishment has already been paid by my Savior, and therefore I will never be condemned. I'm saved tonight, and that is a marvelous, marvelous blessing. I would love to take time tonight to just think about who enjoys the benefits and the blessings of God. And I have a whole list of things here that I could go into, but maybe some other time. I hasten to my second point, and my brief second point I add, the motivation of the saint. The benediction of the Almighty, but now we have the motivation of the saint. Look at our text. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? This is how the psalmist felt when he thought about those things that God had given to him, the blessings that God had lavished upon him, these benefits that he speaks about. And as he thought about them, he wondered, how can I show my gratitude to the Lord? The psalmist suggests some of the things that he would render. What shall I render? The first thing is, I will love him. I will love the Lord. Isn't that what we read in verse 1? In verse 2, he is saying, I will call upon the Lord. I'll be a man of prayer. And then in verse 7, I will rest in him. And then in verse 9, I will walk with him. And in verse 10, I will speak for him, and so on. These are some of the things that I believe David is thinking about as he says, what shall I render? I will love him. I will call upon him. I will rest in him. I will walk with him. I will speak for him. How would we answer this question? What shall I render? Do you feel your indebtedness to God tonight? I'm addressing particularly God's people. It was a believer that asked this question here in the Psalms. It was David. Now I'm asking you to think about it. Do you feel your indebtedness to God for all that he has done for you? The manifold blessings that he has lavished upon you? What can I render? What can I do? What service can I give? What area of God's work can I involve myself in? What department of the church can I enter? What would you say tonight? I'll be a witness for the Lord. That's a good start, isn't it? I will tell others about my mighty Savior who was able to redeem them also and to save them from sin. I will speak of Christ to my family. I will speak of Christ to my neighbor. I will speak of Christ to my work colleague, to my school friend. I will be a witness. I'll render that to the Lord. Somebody else maybe will say, I will live a holy life. And you ought to live a holy life if you're a Christian. We're living in an unholy world where we are surrounded every day by the filth of society. And God's people need to stand up and walk with God in this unholy world. I will live holy. I'll render that to the Lord. And then someone else will say, I'll get involved in God's work. I'll serve the Lord in whatever way I can. That might mean getting up early on a Sabbath day. I'm going to go to the prayer meeting and seek the Lord with those saints of God early on the Sabbath, or get to the prayer meeting on a Sunday night before the evening meeting or the Thursday night prayer meeting. It might involve getting involved in outreach work, going from door to door, giving out invitations to the house of God. Another will say, I will help in the children's work. We can always do help with help on a Tuesday night at the Youth Challenge. And maybe this is something that you can render to God. I will be a children's worker. I will involve myself in that ministry. Or I will give to God's work and to missionary needs. Or I will visit the mission field. Missionaries always love to get visitors. They don't want visitors all the time because they'll have to look after them and spend time with them. But they like to get visitors from time to time. And it always is a great encouragement. You see, my friends, we ought to feel our indebtedness and we ought to be motivated in our heart. And the motivation is all the blessings that God has given. All these benefits that David is thinking about and you and I have thought about tonight. And that brings us to ask the question, what shall I do? What shall I render? What shall I give? You don't want to be like King Hezekiah. I have one passage of Scripture that I want you to turn to as we finish tonight. And it's there in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. King Hezekiah was a godly king. We know that. The record of the Spirit of God who wrote this book shows us clearly that he was a godly king. And God had blessed him in so many ways. He was a man of prayer. We know in this chapter that he cried to God and the Lord saved him from the hands of a great enemy. That enemy was Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. And then we know that Hezekiah fell sick. This sickness was going to take his life. He was going to die. He was sick unto death, verse 24 tells us. And he prayed to the Lord, and we know that God healed him. That's just two examples in these few verses before verse 25, where we have the Lord blessing him and sending him tokens of his goodness and these benefits being lavished upon him, deliverance from a great enemy, and now the healing hand of God upon his body. Look at what verse 25 tells us. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done to him, for his heart was lifted up in pride. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. You want to mark those words tonight? Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done to him. So easy to forget the benefits, isn't it? So easy to go through the Christian life and forget the blessings that God has given to you, these ones that we've mentioned tonight. To be like the 9 lepers who just went on their very way when Christ had healed 10 of them. They came crying to the Lord, have mercy. And God showed mercy in Christ. And the Lord Jesus brought healing to their bodies. And these lepers were wonderfully cleansed. One of them turned back to fall at the feet of the Savior and just say, thank you, Lord. Jesus says, where's the other 9? Were there not 10 healed, cleansed? Of course there were. Oh, my friends, what will we render to the Lord for all his benefits towards us? What will we do? I trust that the Lord will challenge you tonight through his word. And if you're not a Christian in this meeting, what shall you do? What should you render? What should you give? When you think of the benefits of God, and many of these things that I've mentioned tonight, you have received. Life. Blessings in this life, as we think of the comforts that we enjoy. Maybe a job that is given to you over the years. Food on the table. Clothing on your body. Shelter for you and your family. Count them. Number them. All the good things that we have are from the Lord. Blessing of the gospel, the blessing of light and understanding, the message of Christ, the Savior of men, what will you render to the Lord for these blessings that He's given to you? Well, you should come to Him and receive Him and confess Him and believe in Him for your salvation. You should give your life to Him. He says tonight, give me your heart. Will you give your heart to Christ? Will you give your life to Him? Will you come to know your sins forgiven and peace with God? That's what you ought to do. Seek the Lord. Call upon His name. Get right with God. Let us pray.